In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xennial. But what is a Xennial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xennial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And by the way, in answer to your comment you just made right before we started getting on the air here, yes, I am. Anyway, moving on. Today, we're... now you're going to be confused for a while.
I don't...
Live in the confusion.
Nobody else, yeah. Nobody else understands.
It's okay. They don't need to. The joke is funny to me. The joke is funny to me. Actually, we're going to bring that up later. The meme that we talked about earlier that you posted a response for.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that meme just because, again, the joke is funny to me.
Oh, yes.
And
absolutely.
If it's funny to me, I don't care if it's funny to anybody else. Anyway, today we are talking about one of my favorite subjects, one of the things that means the most to me.
Yes.
In fact, when I was taking a health class years ago in college, they're talking about proper nutrition, proper things you're supposed to do for that. And in the discussion of proper nutrition, they were talking about the most important meal of the day. And Mike, what is the most important meal of the day?
Beer.
No, meal.
Oh,
not
meal.
Not item. Oh. Beer, I guess, can be a meal.
I mean, it can be a meal. But it's liquid bread.
The most important meal of the day would be...
It would be breakfast.
Breakfast. To which I told the health teacher that because it's so important, I try to eat three of them a day. She didn't like that idea. But anyway...
What about second breakfast?
Yeah, I'm hobbing in that all the way. Oh, you're bringing in the meme, too. That's nice. Points for you, sir.
Thank you.
But we've discussed before on this podcast, of course, breakfast, specifically cereals. The wonderful and lovely corn flakes.
Yes.
Originally, what was it, corn gruel?
It was corn gruel.
It ended up becoming corn
flakes. John Harvey Kellogg?
Yes, sir. Actually, funny. That's really funny connection because of Kellogg. Kellogg, you should remember Kellogg.
I will remember Kellogg.
John Harvey Kellogg, he had his sanitarium, made corn gruel, and then eventually cornflakes to stop children from masturbating.
Yeah, I know.
Well, not children, actually. It wasn't even children back then. It was adult males from masturbating.
Wow.
I mean, there were incels probably even back then. So.
I mean, I guess, sure, yeah. But...
Cornflakes
as a breakfast. So was this sold to adults?
It was sold to
didn't
everybody.
Didn't he introduce it at like insane asylums and stuff?
And so, I mean,
History
parents,
lesson.
Parents, we did the podcast about the history.
I'm just trying to recap all of it.
And any parents listening, if you want to stop your teenagers from masturbating, buy them cornflakes. Do not, however, just cautionary tale, do not sit down your 11 or 12-year-old, and have a discussion with them about how long they're taking going to the bathroom and accuse them of masturbating in the bathroom because they take 30 minutes to take a poo. Because sometimes, just sometimes, I'm saying, just sometimes, they want to take 30 minutes to take a poo either because it just takes them that long, or they love reading a book and want to be away from people where people can't bug them, and they just want to be comfortable. I'm just saying. So when you take that 11, 12-year-old boy and sit them down and say, hey, why are you taking so long in the bathroom? Why do you take 30 minutes? Are you masturbating in the bathroom?
James?
Yeah?
Did this happen to you?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, wait a minute. My parents. They had a sit-down. They had a sit-down session with you.
Yes.
Asking you if you were masturbating because you were in the bathroom too long.
Yes.
By
the way, I have no problem answering. At that moment in time when they asked me that question,
yes,
no, I was not masturbating.
Were you aware of the concept of it?
Yes, I was aware of what masturbating was and the concept of it, but it had never crossed my mind for me to do it at that point in time because it just wasn't something, my brain wasn't quite there.
Hold on, so they asked you if you were masturbating and your initial response is, wait, I can do that?
Mentally, yes, not in my head. Sorry, in my head, not out loud. Out loud, it was, no, I'm not doing that. In my head, it was,
I can do it.
I could be doing that. So I guess thank you, Mom and Dad, for my teenage years.
Oh, God.
I hate to put it that way.
Oh, that's...
I could also say it's your fault, but I don't think it's a bad thing for teenagers to masturbate. I think it's a healthy... I would rather them do that than go around and... force sex upon people, but that's just my opinion, I guess. But yeah, buy your kids some cornflakes. I didn't have enough cornflakes, apparently. I was eating Cheerios. And Cheerios,
mistake.
Their shape is quite suggestive, isn't it?
Wow. I did not expect.
I just broke Mike.
I'm broke.
But
shit.
But anyway, cereal we've talked about before. Right?
Yes, we have.
But it's not the only thing people have for breakfast.
No.
Like, when I remember when I was growing up, weekends were saved, weekends and like holidays, but mainly weekends, were saved for the big breakfast. The waffles.
Yeah.
The eggs.
Pancakes.
The bacon.
Bacon.
The fried potatoes. You'd be there on Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah,
hash
browns, man. Shredding up the potatoes.
No, not hash browns. Actually chopped up fried potatoes, man.
Oh, you know what? I never did that. I did. We would have hash browns. Like,
I feel
we would
sorry for you.
Shred the potatoes and make. Oh, what's wrong with hash browns, bro?
Because fried potatoes.
Yeah,
are
Dad,
better.
You dude. Saturday,
better.
Man. It was the day off. The parents were home, and
yeah,
you they made a big breakfast, and then you did yard work. Like, that's what we used to do.
Yard work.
You didn't do that.
No.
There were like two eggs, some bacon, and go mow the lawn. And like, it's what?
No.
I don't have school today. That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
I mean, it sucked, but I kind of figured that everybody went through that. Is that not the case?
I'm sure it was for a lot of people, not for me.
Huh.
I mean, I can give you some instances of why. First house I lived in for like the first almost 10 years of my life,
right.
We really didn't have a front lawn. We had a big, gigantic freaking tree.
Okay.
And then some juniper bushes in the front because the tree was so big.
You're a juniper bush.
Oh, God, I hate you. I wanted to do the standard response, but I don't know your mom, so I don't want to insult your mom.
Thank you.
God damn it. Anyway.
I love the stop. That was good. Your resolve is impressive today, sir.
I don't want to insult somebody that I don't personally know, but that means something personal to you.
Thank you.
And I won't insult your wife because if she hears it, she'll beat the crap out of me. You and I married similar type of women. If we say something, they're going to beat the crap out of us.
Oh, yeah. So, you're going to, yeah, she'd kick your ass.
Oh, yeah. She'd try. I think I might be able to run faster than her, maybe. Fat guy can move.
Doubtful.
Fat guy can move.
I don't know, man.
Fat guy can move.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I mean.
Anyway.
I'm just going to let that play itself out.
No, because I'm not going to say anything bad to her. But no, the first house I lived in, gigantic tree in the front yard.
Right.
Juniper bushes in the front. And so nothing could grow underneath the tree because of how big the tree was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a dirt yard. And then the backyard was a pool and a spa. And old school, like 70s, in the ground pool.
Dope.
Not really, because I'm terrified of water.
Oh.
So, like, I never swam in it. My brothers loved it.
I was going to say, like, you had a bitchin' backyard.
It's also a koi pond and a deck.
Damn.
The koi pond was awesome. Throw some oatmeal in the koi pond and oats, just basic oats, and the koi would go nuts on the
really?
Koi pond. Yeah, the koi pond
oats?
Was oats. Really? That's what we fed them. The koi loved it.
You didn't
it.
Feed them, like bugs and worms and stuff?
No.
Koi, they don't eat that stuff?
They probably do, but that's not what my parents fed them. But we had a deck, and then there was a deck, the koi pond, and then the pool and the spa. And it was that...
Grain-fed fish, huh?
Yeah, it was an in-ground pool.
I didn't know that was a thing.
They lived, man. They were huge.
I mean, cool.
Like 12-inch fish and stuff.
Yeah.
Big old fish. But yeah, it was one of those. And then when we moved to the next place, my parents, I don't think my parents trusted me to use a lawnmower. And I was also like kind of a wimpy kid at that point. So like anything that was loud noises,
I was totally the wimpy kid too. They just made me use the damn lawnmower.
No, I don't think they trusted me enough.
I can understand.
I honestly don't think so. And so the second house we moved into did have a front lawn, but the backyard was just dirt again. A couple of decks got built there, but just dirt. So the front lawn, I don't think they trust me with. Then we moved into an apartment, and then now when we moved out in the country, I was like 14. That's when they started making me mow lawns. But that was a huge amount of lawn to mow, so I had a riding lawnmower.
Well, I mean, I wasn't like mowing the lawn when I was like five. Like,
oh, okay.
I wasn't mowing the lawn as a small
child.
Okay,
well, were you having, like, pancakes and stuff on Saturdays when you were a small child?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's like the weekend fare.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like
even, small childhood, yes.
Even to this day, I do...
I hit about 10, though, and they're like, you're mowing the lawn,
started.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, even to this day, I make, on Sunday mornings...
Mm-hmm.
During football season, because I love it during football season, because it gives me something to eat watching the first football game.
Yeah.
But even this day, I make a whole big batch of pancakes,
because
my oldest son is spoiled and gets pancakes every day for breakfast.
Yeah.
He doesn't like cereal. He doesn't like the other item that we're actually really here to talk about, which we'll get to. I'll make pancakes on Sunday and then put them in the fridge and just microwave them throughout the week. Saturday, the lucky little shit, ends up getting, I say that because he's damn spoiled sometimes. Okay. He gets cinnamon rolls on Saturday, but they're not homemade cinnamon rolls. They're like the Pillsbury in the tube cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, but those are good.
They're still very good. I don't have my wife make homemade cinnamon rolls unless it's going to be a day I'm going to be home. Cause
that's a lot of work though. Well,
it's not like I make her make them, but like if she says she wants to make them, I say, please do it on a day that I'm home. Cause I really want to enjoy homemade cinnamon rolls because homemade cinnamon rolls are bomb. But it's not like I'm like, hey, I'm home. Get your ass in the kitchen and make me some cinnamon rolls. Cause I would die.
I would die a lot. I mean, that's just a bad, that's I mean, just I have, a, not I, a great thing
I
to
have,
do.
I have enough things in the house that she could kill me with. but anyway, point being,
so you learned early the home dynamic.
Oh, I learned very early the home
dynamic. Oh, good, good, good.
But even growing up, cereal was, you know, a mainstay for breakfast during the week. But sometimes you'd be a little bit too busy to sit down and have a bowl of cereal. Sometimes you needed something that was a little bit more mobile, a little faster working.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But still gave you something that had kind of the carbs you needed, you know, because most breakfasts are kind of carb rich, which is funny.
Totally.
Which is funny. Health wise, we should actually eat more protein at breakfast time. And we should eat our carbs later in the day so that our body can process our carbs while we're sleeping. It's actually better for your health.
It is?
Yes. Interestingly enough.
Really? I thought it was like more protein. Carbs in the morning, protein in the middle of the day, and then like fiber at the end of the day.
You want to have some fiber as well, but you can have your carbs at the end of the day too. You should have your protein. You should have your protein earlier in the day because it actually helps to get your mental stuff going, your mental facilities going.
Okay, okay.
In fact, that's why eggs are very common for people that are dieting in various forms. Typically, the best ways to eat eggs are either going to be, as far as health wise, are going to be either scrambled or without milk, if you can.
Yeah.
Scrambled or
I never really put milk in boiled. My scrambled eggs.
I put a little tiny bit. It just adds, it can it's sometimes not, make
yeah,
it a little fluffier.
It does fluff them up a bit.
But,
I could take it or leave it.
But scrambled or boiled are your healthiest methods.
Right.
And depending on how much oil you use or what you use for frying is...
Give or take.
Okay.
That would make sense.
But that's why steak and eggs is still popular. Bacon and eggs is still popular.
Mm-hmm.
In my household, for me anyway, spam and eggs is popular. I love me some spam.
I don't have spam very often. It's weird. I have this strange aversion to spam.
Which is understandable.
I will have... It's weird. Like, I have an aversion to it, but I think it's just because I never really had any of it.
No, and I get that. I actually had a friend. I had a friend when I was younger.
Now, what is spam?
Spam is basically, depending on whether you get the real spam or the light spam, I get the light spam because I do have some health issues I need to worry about, some cholesterol stuff, and I do have not high cholesterol, but above the range they want you to have.
Okay.
So it's technically high, but it's not like, oh my God, he's going to have a heart attack high. It's just like a little bit high, so I need to watch my stuff.
Well, it'd be good to keep an eye on it.
I medicate, and I've cut down a lot of fats in my diet.
Well, that's good.
And so I make concessions like I do the light spam. Now, the light spam is a mix of pork and turkey, whereas the regular spam is just pork. And basically what it is it's pork shoulder pieces.
Okay. And
it's basically just been chopped up really small and then kind of pressed together with gelatin from the leftover bones and stuff.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And it's pressed together into a loaf.
It's like a processed block of pork.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's not really... There's no bone, there's no gristle, there's no... And actually, the texture of it is pretty much the same all the way through.
I was going to say, so it's not like... We're not talking like, you know, hot dogs, right? We're not talking
it's
lips and assholes, are we?
Not,
or are we
talking... No, it's mainly shoulder. It's mainly pork shoulder.
Okay.
And the consistency isn't much different from dealing with something like bologna. Which, by the way, bologna is... And,
so you cut off a slice of it and then you can fry it.
You fry it up. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why it's
real salty. That's the biggest thing. Unless again you get the light.
That's probably why I don't really.
Unless you get the
much.
Light version, which has less salt.
Okay.
It has less salt, less fat,
less other
stuff.
I'm willing to try some light spam.
Yeah.
I have to see if there's any decent spam based recipes that I can get my hands on.
Seriously, dude, just cut a piece off
and throw it in the pan.
Put it in the pan and have some scrambled eggs with it.
Okay.
And just, this is the way you got to do it.
Spam and eggs.
You cut a little bit of the, you cut into, because you can just, with side of your fork, cut the piece of the spam.
Mm-hmm.
Just cut a little piece of spam, grab a little piece of spam, grab a little bit of eggs, eat them together. The key is to eat them together. There's a little bit of texture difference, obviously, fluffy eggs, meaty spam. But the flavor combination is what's killer.
Okay.
I would not recommend Reese's and Spam's together. Reese's and Spam, not good.
Wait,
movie
what?
Reference. Points for anybody who gets the movie reference.
Whoa.
Whoever's listening to this on the YouTube page.
If you comment what it is, you're going to teach me what this is because he's not telling
me. If you comment what this is, you will get a personal thank you from me. I know that's not a big deal, but still, that's awesome. I will have much respect for you if you know what the reference is. By the way, my wife is not allowed to play that game because she knows exactly what it's a reference to because it's one of my favorite things. Anyway, moving on. Not the
Reese's
food.
And
not
Spam.
The food. The reference that it comes from is something
I figured
I like.
Reese's and Spam don't mix well at all.
And by the way, I will tell you, Mike, after we're done recording. Anyway, moving on.
Oh, okay. I mean, if so, you want to. Is that so that I can keep an eye out?
Yeah, so you can keep an eye out. So you know what it is. You'll be amused.
The next podcast will have a personal thank you from James.
Then you will also be... Crap, of course, it is this kind of a reference because it's freaking James. So today we've led up to a bunch of minutes here talking about breakfast, hopefully getting people hungry, because today we're going to talk about that quick breakfast, that iconic quick breakfast that, although it came out before our time,
okay,
and many of the things we dealt with, cornflakes came out well before our time. Sanitarium was open, you know, 100 years before our time. But even though it came out before our time, I think this is something that really speaks to our generation.
Okay.
And the generation's even younger than us, but it really speaks to us. Because here's the thing. Our parents' generation was one of the first generations to have these items as their breakfast things. And not in the same way that we got them. No, sir. They had a stripped-down version of them at first. And they only had they had limitations on the variety.
Okay.
Very, very limited variety.
That would make sense. They're proto.
Yeah, some of them still
exist
to this day.
It's a proto breakfast.
It is. And what we're talking about today is
uh-huh.
Pop-Tarts. And I'm specific with this. Pop-Tarts is one of those really neat
things.
Bet
you didn't see that coming, did you?
Some people might have. I don't know.
Maybe. Probably. They were probably. I bet you they're reading the title and going, oh, they're talking about Pop-Tarts.
Yes. Nobody
blindly flies into this podcast, sir.
But as they're listening to it, they're like, wait, we're talking about cornflakes and masturbation again? I don't need to know that about James. Mike had to do yard work. Okay.
James had a really, really weird, awkward teenage phase.
I had an awkward childhood, man. all around. Anybody who knows me should know that. I'm crazy. Anyway, moving on. Pop-Tarts.
Yes.
Which I love Pop-Tarts in just the, not the food sense, we'll talk about the food sense in a minute.
Okay.
The esoteric sense of the word Pop-Tarts and what it brings into our brain.
Mm-hmm.
Pop-Tarts is one of those items that's very much in the same family as Band-Aids.
Oh,
and
totally.
Q-tips.
Yes.
And Tylenol. Tylenol's another good one. These are all name brands that people completely associate with the product. Kleenex. People completely associate it with the product and call the product that even when they are not buying the name brand version. And what people don't understand is this is a name brand. It is not the product.
Oh, yeah.
Pop-Tarts are toaster pastries.
Yep.
Q-tips.
And you will see the Winco brand toaster pastries next to the Pop-Tarts.
Yes, or the Walmart brand or the Winco
Pop-Tarts.
Yes,
yeah.
They are not. They are mm-hmm. toaster pastries. And it even says on the Pop-Tarts container that they are toaster pastries, but Pop-Tarts are the name. It's just like if you are using anything to put over a cut that is not a Band-Aid brand Band-Aid.
Adhesive strip.
It is an adhesive strip.
Yep.
Thank you, Kevin Smith. Q-tips are Q-tips only for Q-tip brand.
And you're getting into a semantics argument.
Exactly. Q-tips are cotton swabs, unless they are Q-tip brand.
Mm-hmm.
Kleenexes are tissues, unless it's Kleenex brand, it's a tissue. It's a facial tissue specifically.
Yeah.
And Pop-Tarts is such a huge item and is the industry leader for toaster pastries that we automatically assign Pop-Tarts to anything that resembles them. Even things like toaster strudels, which are frozen toaster pastries, which some may argue are superior to Pop-Tarts. I say you are wrong. Mainly because Pop-Tarts are portable. Toaster strudels are not. Well, she can love her toaster strudels. Pop-Tarts are better. Now I'm going to get beaten up. Anyway, moving on. Pop-Tarts have a very interesting history. I'm going to do a little quick thing on the history.
Okay.
In the 1960s, Post, who's always been in kind of competition with Kellogg,
right.
Adopted a process for enclosing food in foil to keep it fresh without spoiling. first using it for dog food. They had these dog food things that would be enclosed in foil, make it so the food wouldn't spoil. Yes.
Wait, the foil bags?
Yes. They adopted it to a new toaster-prepared breakfast food. Okay? It was supposed to be like a complement to cereal, which makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, have it in a bowl of cereal and maybe some orange juice.
They announced
part of
this,
your complete breakfast.
Yeah, they announced this
totally.
To the press.
Just instead of bread, yeah.
Yeah, okay. They announced this to the press in 1963.
Yeah.
63.
Yeah.
So again, when our parents would have been kids.
Right. Oh, wow, okay.
As a product called Country Squares.
Boy, that name didn't stick.
So they announced it, Post announced this, but they weren't ready to go to market with it. Kellogg was like, well, screw you guys. We're going to come out with it better.
No way.
And so they actually developed a mascot. An anthropomorphic toaster named Milton, which I don't remember this, but any older people listening, they may remember Milton.
Well,
remember Milton the toaster?
No.
Okay.
It's like Milton sounds like something that would have come out at the same time as the Frito Bandito.
So in 1964, Kellogg, our wonderful people who hate masturbation, came out with Pop-Tarts, which honestly, you name the thing Pop-Tarts and you have a problem with masturbation. That name is salacious all on its own. But they came out with Pop-Tarts. In the original Pop-Tarts,
I think the reason why is because everybody working at Kellogg's were just sexually repressed.
I'm guessing. It's like, this damn cereal.
Excuse me, what are we calling it?
It's messing up our stuff. We got a new product. It's called Pop-Tarts. Ooh, that's sexy. I like it. I like it a lot.
Sexy anyway. Fruit-filled squares that come out of the toaster.
Yes. Well, there's some interesting things about the original version of this in 1964.
Yeah.
And that's when they came out. First of all, they couldn't meet demand. It was huge demand. They were running out of supply. Scary amount. But when they came out in 64, they were not like the versions that we have today. They had no frosting at all. They had not figured out a method to put the frosting on the outside. They were just fruit-filled pastries.
Okay, so the technology just didn't exist yet. That was the deal?
They couldn't figure out how to put a frosting on that would stay on and wouldn't cause a problem in the toaster. Wouldn't melt and cause
and
a fire.
Set something on fire.
Which, interestingly enough, Pop-Tarts, we'll get to later the fact that Pop-Tarts actually have caused fires in toasters, and there's a warning label.
Whoa.
There's a warning label on the box of Pop-Tarts now as a result of this.
Really?
Yes. But in 1967, they were able to finally put the frosting on there. The first Pop-Tarts came out in four flavors in 1964. Four flavors. Are you ready for them?
Yes.
Strawberry. Still a mainstay to this day.
I was going to say, strawberry is like one of my absolute favorites.
Blueberry. Also still around
today.
Okay,
yeah. Blueberry's around.
Brown sugar cinnamon, which
that's
is the
still
best
around.
Flavor ever, and I will fight you on that one. I will fight anybody on that
okay,
one. Let's
okay,
go.
Okay, okay.
You already know. So I think you already know what my favorite is. And then the final one, apple currant.
Really?
Yes.
I wonder why that one didn't stick.
I wonder why, too.
I didn't even know what an apple currant was.
Yeah.
Until you, like,
just
mentioned
it.
Yeah.
Well, it's
what
apple.
What the hell's an apple currant?
Apple and currant are two different things. Currant is a different fruit.
Oh.
I don't know what it's like because I've never had one.
Currant with an A, right? Not like a current of moving apples.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe it's not pronounced current. It's currant, or I don't know how it's pronounced.
Oh, apple currant.
Currant? Is that
I don't
how
know.
It's pronounced?
I don't know. I think it's currant. I think you're right.
I mean,
I don't know.
Maybe it's a Frenchy thing and you have to pronounce it weird.
Courant.
Anyway, point being, those were the main flavors. Those are the four flavors that first came out. First four flavors.
I mean, dude,
here's another thing that's
interesting.
Three
of the four.
Here's another thing that's interesting.
Still around.
Because they didn't have the frosting on it, they had another unique feature. They actually had a pressing in the middle of it, diagonal across the Pop-Tart, so that you could break an individual Pop-Tart into triangular pieces.
What?
Yes.
Put some jelly in the middle of it and you have a Pop-Tart sandwich.
Well, I guess you could do it that way. I mean, you could do that with two Pop-Tarts anyway.
Ooh. Yeah, but, oh, ooh. Shit.
So many ideas. Oh, my God, I just thought of something.
Yes?
You know that they have peanut butter Pop-Tarts? Like straight peanut butter Pop-Tarts? You knew that, right?
No.
Oh, we're going to get into some of the flavors.
Is that new?
Relatively, I mean, the last 7 or 8 years.
Oh, yeah, I've never had a peanut butter Pop-Tart. Dude, jelly in the middle?
Dude, no. No, there's peanut butter and chocolate ones, but there's no peanut butter and jelly ones. But you're wanting to put jelly in the middle.
Put jelly in between two peanut butter Pop-Tarts.
Better.
What?
Better.
What?
Fluff.
Hell yeah.
You have Fluffer Nutter Pop-Tart.
Oh,
buddy.
Dude.
Like, you don't even know.
Are there Pop-Tarts filled with Fluffer Nutter yet?
No.
Why not?
There should be.
Yes.
Kellogg.
Do they have a marshmallow fluff? They do have a marshmallow fluff Pop-Tart because they have s'mores Pop-Tarts, which they do means have s'mores Pop-Tarts.
The technology is there.
Absolutely.
In fact, actually, I have
s'mores. Fluffy Nutter Pop-Tarts are real. They can be done.
And if it happens, you heard it here first.
Yes.
And we need royalties, damn it.
That's what I'm saying.
Papa needs Pop-Tarts.
We'll take 10%.
Papa needs lots of Pop-Tarts.
Damn it, Kellogg's. You hear us?
Yes. I get 5. You get 5. No. I get 4. You get 4. The other 2 is Pop-Tarts. How do you like that?
Done.
I could be happy with that. Dig but it. Anyway, those are the 4 original flavors. In 1967, they were finally able to figure out the way to put the frosting, the icing on the top of them. And boom, you have the Pop-Tart as we know it today. Now, again, there's been a flavor explosion of the different Pop-Tarts. We're going to go through some different flavors
mm-hmm.
in the second half here,
mm-hmm.
as we're pretty close on about to take a break. So we're going to go through some of the different flavors. One, I want to know if you've had them. And two, I also want your surprised reaction to the various flavors.
Yeah, totally. I've got to see this.
Because I'm pretty sure that I have eaten...
Apple Courant was already enough of a surprise. I mean, I could see it, but at the same time, like, I'm not sure.
I'm fairly positive that I have eaten like 4 times as many Pop-Tarts in my lifetime as you. Mainly because of the fact that... I'm a lazy person, so I don't necessarily... There was a long period of time where I didn't like to make food for myself, so I would
just...
And my laziness when it comes to food is different than your laziness when it comes to food.
Okay.
And I'll give the listeners an example. My laziness is I'll just go grab like a box of Pop-Tarts and a bag of chips and a 6-pack of soda, and then I will just eat that all day long because I don't feel like making anything else. Mike,
that's
when
all day on the couch, man. Mike, that's a Lord of the Rings marathon.
I guess. Well, for a Lord of the Rings marathon, I need more than that. That's like over 12 hours, bro. Because I watch the extended
version. Oh, you watch the extended.
Hell yes, because I know how to do things
There's no other. Yeah, there's no other way to watch it. Like, I have the theatrical, and I feel like I'm really missing out. I've got the extended of the first one. I want the other two.
I mean, I would say at some point we could do a marathon of watching it, but like you would die of asphyxiation in my house from the cats and your allergy to them. So.
No, I would go anaphylactic.
Yeah, otherwise I would have you over and have you watch a full marathon of that. Although
I might come over with an emergency EpiPen. I'm not sure, depending on how expensive they are.
I don't know if you'd want to watch it with my oldest though, because he's worse than me about quoting movies and talking along with the dialogue in movies. And the Lord of the Rings movies, man.
Oh man,
he knows
those
things so good. You don't even know.
Oh boy,
he said. Those are my moments of proudness when I'm watching certain movies with him, just for him to be able to have the love for the movies that I do. But anyway, I know I've eaten a lot of the different flavors. I'm sure you don't go to the. I'm sure that even half the time you go to the store to buy groceries, you're not thinking about looking down the Pop-Tart aisle and seeing what new Pop-Tart flavors there are. And I am every time I go to the store.
Honestly, okay, you and all you're talking about this makes me want to do a Pop-Tart taste test.
Yes. Oh, we got it. We have to at some point.
I hope so. Like, maybe we can have like a follow-up episode.
Yes,
this.
I'm good with that.
I'm down.
I will be more than glad to grab various Pop-Tarts to do taste tests on. There's one specifically I really want you to try.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's one I had recently. It's very good.
Ooh.
But anyway, like I said, we'll go over some of the flavors. We'll talk about the ones that we like in just a minute here.
Dig it.
And I do want to make one note. The packaging that's currently around the Pop-Tarts is no longer foil.
What is it?
It's actually Mylar. Like,
I am not
Mylar they make balloons out of?
Really?
Yeah, the Mylar balloons.
That's Mylar?
Yeah. The packaging is Mylar.
Were they doing foil before? Like, did Kellogg's do the foil wrapping? So they figured out post...
Kellogg's did the foil wrapping, and they found out post way of doing it, the way that they were using for the dog food they were trying to do for this other encapsulated thing. And see, that's why, again, toaster strudels are amazing. They taste great.
Okay.
But they're
They're
more of a pastry that's, I like to eat them for like a dessert pastry type thing, more so than a breakfast pastry.
That makes sense. Here's my issue, my main issue with toaster strudels in general, is the fact that... Now, the frosting is fantastic.
Oh, it tastes great.
But you have to put it on it. Yeah, you have to put it on there. And then on top of that...
It melts off.
Yeah, you have to prepare the frosting. Like, the frosting's in the freezer in the box with the other toaster strudels. Yeah. While you're doing the toaster strudels, you have to then fill a bowl with hot water.
Massage it.
That's okay. Yeah, you can do that too. You got to loosen up the frosting before you put it on there.
All I'm thinking of is the fact that toaster strudels are even more sexually erotic than what the Pop-Tarts are. The Kellogg people were going nuts. Like, we have to put the frosting on ourselves, because if we let the people squirt the white stuff on top of our pastries, oh my God, we're going totally backwards.
Which, by, I mean, that's just,
Seriously? My hope now.
I was doing the.
My hope now is that every time anybody eats a toaster strudel or a Pop Tart, all they can think about is sex, because that's awesome. On that note, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the various flavors of Pop Tarts. Real ones. I'm not going to make any up, I promise. We'll talk to you in just a minute.
Hey, friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we are back, everybody.
Hey.
You're still listening? You're okay with masturbation talk. Yay! I just love the fact that every time I say things like that, it makes you laugh.
It's funny.
Actually,
masturbation has always been a funny concept.
Little side note.
It's weird. It's klutzy.
Little side note.
And it's funny that it has to do with breakfast.
So wrong. So wrong. So many white fluids involved in breakfast. That's just so wrong. Anyway. Speaking of which, toaster strudels. This leads to a fun side note. Just the fact that every time we talk about it, it makes you laugh, and I find that amusing. I remember meeting somebody once, a member of my wife's family, that even though they were trained in the medical field, they had real big issues with people using proper medical names for genitals. So they were fully grown adult, still use all the made up names possible for any kind of genital parts. And so my favorite thing to do when I was around that person was to recite lines from one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay.
And it's a great film. I mean, John Voight, James Vanderbeek, Paul Walker, rest in peace. He's thinking, what is it? I don't want your life.
Oh, really? Varsity Blues?
I love that movie.
Oh, wow.
It's hilarious. Especially because I also love Not Another Teen Movie and the way that it makes fun of it.
Yes.
Especially the fact they got the same actor to play
the
same part.
To play the parody of his own character.
It's hilarious. Sad things that happened to him in his life. But anyway, one of my favorite moments from that is when they're having the sex ed talk in the class. And so whenever I'd be around this person back in the first year or two of meeting them, I would just randomly, as I was around them, just penis, 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 vagina, vagina, vagina. And she would just burst out laughing and could not contain herself. And it was just the greatest thing. So, I mean, I say masturbation and you can't help but start to want to laugh. So it's funny as hell.
Yep.
But anyway, at this point, we are going to talk about Pop-Tart flavors.
Pop-Tart flavors. Okay.
Now, we already talked about strawberry.
Yeah.
Blueberry.
Mm-hmm.
The apple currant, which, again, it's an apple something.
Right.
I know they've made other apple flavors since then, but, and then the brown sugar cinnamon, which is my favorite of all time, period, exclamation point. I would eat those at any moment in time if I had one in front of me right now.
Right. Those are our regulars.
Even though I just ate some food, I would still eat the brown sugar cinnamon.
You could have them for dessert too, man. They're good.
And interesting, brown sugar cinnamon is definitely one of the ones that I can eat both toasted and untoasted.
Okay.
Still good both ways. And yes, they are safe to eat untoasted, people.
Yeah.
You can totally eat them untoasted.
Pop them out of the package and eat them.
By the way, do not put them in the microwave. I had a family member do that to me once, cooked me, because they did not own a toaster. They made my Pop-Tarts in the microwave. They're terrible. They say they can be microwaved.
Make it in the oven.
I mean,
it's a lot of energy for a couple of Pop-Tarts, but you can still do that. Throw them on a cookie sheet.
They were old people that didn't know.
They have an oven, don't they?
Yeah, but they were old people that didn't know.
Okay.
And this was in the mid-1980s. They weren't necessarily knowledgeable.
You know what? Microwaves were kind of a big deal still in the 80s.
And the microwave the microwave that they had was one of those gigantic, huge ones that like dimmed the power in the whole house whenever they turned it on. So they made everything in that thing because it was like a huge purchase that they made. Oh, it was giant.
Oh,
it was like
three foot by you could cook a full turkey in that sucker.
Possibly. Yeah. That thing. And it survived for like 20 years. It was like, it was a beast. But anyway, right now I've pulled up a national grocery chain.
A local grocery chain.
Well, the national grocery chain.
Okay.
And we're looking at some of the Pop-Tart flavors that this national grocery chain offers. At the top of the list are, of course, the strawberry.
Okay.
Which I love the fact that
our default flavors, our default established flavors.
Your strawberry, your frosted brown sugar cinnamon, mm-hmm. which I'm guessing that's a favorite of yours too, to some extent.
Frosted brown sugar. Yeah. The brown sugar cinnamon's like really good.
How about some cookies and cream, sir?
I have never had that, and I will.
They have the cream inside, and then their chocolate. It's a chocolate pastry with a frosting on top.
What?
Yes.
How have I missed out on this?
I mean, I don't know. You're not fat enough?
I
put some belly on, bro.
Well, I could be if this is what's happening.
Let's see. Next set of flavors here for you. So we got the cookies and cream, which, by the way, I've had those. They are fantastic.
Okay.
There is a frosted s'mores. You've had the s'mores?
I have had the s'mores, and the s'mores is amazing.
Frosted cherry.
I don't know how to feel about that.
I'm not a huge cherry fan. Frosting.
I feel like it's like it's here's a birthday cake full of cough syrup. I'm not sure how that's going to work.
Bright pink frosting too. It's a little weird.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that. That's
how about frosted chocolate fudge?
I am very willing to try that. Although chocolate, just like general chocolate, I've had the chocolate Pop Tarts before. And I wasn't really a fan. There was flavor at one point. S'mores offsets the chocolate with marshmallow. Yeah.
And like it works. And the almost Grammy flavor of the pastry part.
Yeah.
So the frosted blueberry, which is the staple.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the first one to throw me for a loop. Because again, I've had a lot of these.
Okay.
Frosted Fruit Loops limited edition.
What?
Yeah.
Fruit Loops Pop-Tarts.
That's what I'm looking at, bro.
Hot Fruit Loops. How do I feel about that? I don't know.
I mean, it's fruity flavored hot. I'm just thinking,
Well, but there's a difference between, like, fruit hot loops. Fruit flavor, like a hot, like the strawberry jelly type flavor that they
have. As compared to
fruit something
loops.
That tastes like Fruit Loops hot. Like, By the way,
you do know that all the different Fruit Loops have the exact same flavor regardless of the color, right?
I kind of figured that was the case. Flavor.
Skittles, not. Fruit Loops, yes. M&M's, all the colors are the same flavor, sorry. If you don't know
that.
Yeah,
they're all chocolate.
Yeah, if you don't know that, you should eat more candy.
This one tastes
like
brown.
Eat more candy. Yes, this one tastes like brown.
This one tastes like red. This one tastes like blue chocolate.
And the green one makes you want to masturbate.
What? The green M&M?
That's the horny one, remember? Also, it's the chick. Hello. Anyway, how about...
Did you just make a pass at M&M's?
I mean, maybe.
Weird. I'll leave it at that.
I'm sure there's a website for that.
Yeah. Rule 34. Yes, don't you sir. Rule 34 the M&Ms.
You check. See.
No, hell no, I ain't checking.
And then watch yourself get put on a watch list. Anyway, don't check that, people. You will get put on a watch list. Next flavor for you. Frosted chocolate chip.
That might. I mean, isn't that like the cookies and cream kind
of? Well, that's different from the... No, it's chocolate chip. And there's actually, I believe, a chocolate chip cookie dough one at some point. But it may just be the frosted chocolate chip. Now we're getting to some good ones. How about frosted hot fudge sundae?
I'm down on that one. Like, there's the chocolate fudge, and then the hot fudge sundae makes more sense. Because then you've got... See, here's the thing. You've got the...
You got a little bit of ice creamy flavor.
You've got the ice cream flavor. You've got the whipped cream type flavor in there. Like, there's some...
And you're probably just going to get a standard pastry flavor too, which is nice to have.
Yeah, that'll work. I'm down on that. Did they put little
sprinkles
like
and stuff?
Well, sprinkles, but like they put little like walnut sprinkles on the top of it.
No,
would that
it's
work?
Just got it's got.
Or would that just break off and start a fire?
Interestingly, I'm looking at it now. Looks like it is a chocolate pastry.
Okay.
The filling is white, so it's some kind of a creamy filling.
That's got to be That's got to be the whipped cream.
Yeah, there's a white icing
on
top.
Chocolate whipped cream.
Okay. It's got like colored sprinkles and then like a chocolatey swirl on the top of the icing.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and it looks fun, like you would expect a hot fudge sundae to look.
Yeah, it looks like you know those plastic cups from the '90s, kind of.
Speaking of the '90s, here's a flavor that came out originally in the '90s, and the color of the frosting on the outside. Really tells you it came in the 90s.
Okay.
Pop-Tarts Frosted Wildlicious Wild Berry.
That already sounds like, yeah, like, that's just like, I mean, yeah. That sounds like a flavor of Go-Gurt.
And look at those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. The purple, they are just the blue and pink and purple.
Yes, the purple frosting with the blue lines goodness. On it. That's just, I mean, it puts you in mind of those the cups.
Dude.
The blue, the white cups, the blue things on them. Totally puts you in mind of that. Let's see.
Hipster kids are going nuts over that one, man.
They do still have unfrosted strawberry.
Okay.
How about this one? Frosted cinnamon roll.
Unfrosted strawberry.
Unfrosted strawberry, yes.
Oh, cool.
How about
the little pinholes in them?
How about frosted cinnamon roll?
Hell yeah.
Those are actually quite good. I've had those ones before. Frosted raspberry.
Okay. I'm down with raspberry.
Frosted.
Raspberry's going to have a little bit more tang and strawberry. That's down.
Here's kind of the replacement for the apple currant.
Okay.
Frosted crisp apple.
Ooh, so that's a green apple.
Yes, and they are. I've had those as well.
How are those?
Quite good.
Very okay, tasty. I'm willing to try this out. Gives you almost an apple
pie-y type taste. Let's see what else we got. Here's an interesting one, harvest strawberry.
Oh, so it's like.
And what's interesting about those is those are actually some non-GMOs. That one has non-GMO filling.
Oh, really?
For those of you who are worried about that.
So it's like super natural strawberry.
Here's the other one, chocolate chip cookie dough. Which I told you there was one of those.
Oh, yes.
Those are amazing. They are like having chocolate chip cookie dough.
Huh.
Very, very tasty.
They're just going after ice cream flavors at this point.
Well, they're just going after whatever sweet flavors that they can get. There should be, and there isn't. They also have the unfrosted blueberry available. Okay.
That's like the default.
There's a simply frosted apple cinnamon, which is also another.
So it's like slightly less frosting?
Yeah, this one is another non-GMO.
Okay.
So they're the more the healthy versions of it.
Yeah, yeah. Healthy versions of Pop-Tarts.
And guess what? They also have
your sugar bread.
They also still have the unfrosted. Square. They have the unfrosted brown sugar cinnamons as well. So you can get the original ones in their original unfrosted states.
Okay, that's good. Sorry, I'm still kind of stuck on the whole, this is a healthier option. They're fucking Pop-Tarts.
But what's beautiful about it is...
It's a sugar square that you put in the toaster. It is not meant to be healthy.
Well, what's funny about it is the Pop-Tarts have gone beyond just being Pop-Tarts.
Okay.
For instance, they have Pop-Tarts crisps, which are little bars that have the Pop-Tarts flavors.
Oh, yeah.
Those are in the main
colors.
Those are in the main flavors, the strawberry, the blueberry, the brown cinnamon sugar.
Those are good.
I've had the brown cinnamon sugar ones.
Yeah.
They are quite tasty. At different points, they've tried other things as well. There's, I'm trying to find them here. Where are you guys? Pop-Tarts mini crisps.
Okay.
Which are tiny bite-sized versions with none of the fruit filling in them. They had a version of the product called Go-Tarts that were thicker, narrow, and individually wrapped. Pop-Tart splits. They were two separate flavors in one pastry, which I remember those. Had a few of the different Pop-Tart splits. So like halfway through the pastry, it would be vertically. One side would be one flavor, one side would be the other flavor.
Whoa.
Yeah, they were actually pretty tasty. It was cool to eat them. And they were like cool stuff. Like it would be strawberry and cheesecake. So half was strawberry, half was cheesecake.
Just flip them over and then break it and put one on top of the other and double it up?
Just take a big wide bite and get both sides at the same time.
Huh.
Yeah, it was some good stuff. Currently they have, if you can imagine, they've gone full circle. Because Kellogg is not going to forget where it came from. They have
Do they have a cornflakes flavor?
No, they have Pop-Tart cereal.
Oh.
They have brown sugar cinnamon and strawberry Pop-Tart cereal. And they're little,
what are they like?
They're little crunchy kind of squares with the filling flavor inside. And
dude!
Yes, I've had the brown sugar cinnamon version. I find personally, because the filling is has kind of a jelly kind of feel to it, even with the brown sugar and cinnamon one, I found them to be a really weird texture to eat in milk. But to eat them dry is actually really good. They're a cool little snacky snack.
Oh, okay.
Pour out a bowl, eat one at a time, have a little snacky snack that takes a while to eat through.
Huh.
But there's two new flavors that are out right now.
They just came out this year?
They just came out within the last 6 months. And I can tell you right now, I've tried these flavors. Oh, there's also some...
You keep up on your Pop-Tarts flavors.
There's some Pop-Tarts bites, by the way. Brown sugar cinnamon bites.
I have had the bites.
You have had the bites.
I've had the bites. Those are good.
See, what's funny is I was about almost to tell you to pause our recording, because I actually have a box of the Pop-Tart bites out in the trunk of my car. The brown sugar cinnamon one.
That's strange.
I bought them the other day when I was at
you keep them there?
Confession, I keep a big bag of snack foods in the trunk of my car so that when I'm going to school, where I go to school in Sacramento,
yes.
I am surrounded by a huge number of restaurants. There is a Denny's,
Red
Lobster, an Outback,
yep.
A Habit, a Taco Bell, and an El Pollo Loco within walking distance of my school.
Oh, not they knew mention, exactly what they were doing.
Not to mention a 7-Eleven right across the street as well.
Oh, so you'd be going getting stuff everywhere.
I would be doing. I would be having snacks and Slurpees every single night if I could. One, I could not afford that.
I don't blame you for doing that.
Yeah, one, I could not afford that. Two, if I was doing that on a regular basis and my wife found out, death. So
no, I could understand something like that. Yeah. Is just, you know, you're that's much, quite justified.
It's way too much of a.
It comes off very weird, but so no, perfect sense.
I keep different snacky snacks in the trunk of the car so that when I'm feeling hungry, I can run out to the trunk of the car, grab a sweet snacky snack, and stop that desire to, oh, I need some El Pollo Loco.
I'm calling this right now.
It's yummy, yummy, tasty, good.
There's one across. Stop it. Oh, my God.
Just so you know, every time I...
Did you just write a jingle for El Pollo Loco?
No, every time I pass...
Based on La Cucaracha?
I will be 100% serious with you. Every time I pass an El Pollo Loco or Crazy Chicken...
You call it a Crazy Chicken.
I call it Crazy Chicken.
Yeah, that's what it says.
I literally sing that song every time I pass one. And I want you to think about something, sir. Think about the last house that you lived in.
Yes.
Think about the way that I would drive to get to that last house. I would go down Greenback Lane.
Yes.
And turn on Sunrise.
Right.
There is an El Pollo Loco on Greenback Lane on the way towards Sunrise.
Oh, you're
so
right.
So every single time I would come to see you at that house, I would pass that El Pollo Loco, and whoever was in the car with me had to deal with that. The crazy chicken, the crazy chicken. Seriously. Every single time. Ask my wife. And even when I go in there to eat, I'm singing it under my breath when I go in there to eat. It's just one of those weird things.
There is a Pollo Loco directly across, like in the same parking lot of my work. Like,
yeah, I know.
Direct view of the front door.
I've eaten at that one a couple of times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've been there a couple. Actually, it was the first time I ever had a Pollo Loco was at that one.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Wow. And wow. So I like, I am not going to go there now without our, I'm not going to, I will drive to work and I will do that in my own head.
I know you will. And at some point or another, you're going to go there with your wife or you're going to go there with a coworker. And when you walk in there, you're going to be like, the crazy chicken. Fuck you, James. God damn it. That's what you're going to do.
I hate you, bro.
I know. I know. It's a good thing. It's what I strive for. So,
all right.
Two new flavors.
Two.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, there are many things that we love in this world.
Okay.
Many sweets. Many snacks, many beautiful, wonderful things like that.
Okay.
But one of the best, I think, especially the fact that it has a myriad of versions and a myriad of applications.
Okay.
Was made originally by a humble priest, I believe in Germany, Bavaria specifically, the Bavaria region of Germany. He made these dough snacks, folded them in such a way that it looked like two hands praying. And fed them to the little kids around that were part of his church. But the way he made the dough, the methods that he used, and the type of dough that it was, helped create the signature part of this snack. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Hell no.
Pretzels, sir.
Wait, hold on. A pretzel is supposed to look like two hands praying?
Yes, that was the original intention.
But they don't look like that.
Well, they look like two hands that are apart, not necessarily together praying, but that was his intention. I know, weird.
Was
but
he?
Anyway.
Did he tie the knot and then close the knot?
No.
So it was an open knot.
Yeah. Again,
that doesn't look anything like a pair of praying hands.
Like I said, that was his intention. Whether it looks like it or not, that was his intention. So,
was he dyslexic?
I don't know. I wasn't his friend. He died before I was born.
I honestly thought you were going to do the. You were going to like
beer?
Segue to the Bavarian cream filled donut.
No,
and I was like, a Bavarian cream filled donut does not look like hands praying. It looks entirely different from that.
I'm talking about pretzels.
And then you told me a pretzel, and I was like, well, that doesn't look like it either.
No, it's pretzels. That was the original intention of it.
Interesting.
So pretzels are in many forms. You have your normal stick pretzels. Your supposedly praying hands pretzel, the knot look. You also have your and those are, you know, when you're talking about the snacky type pretzels.
Sorry. The praying hands pretzel. Yes. That doesn't look like that at all.
I mean, heck, nowadays you can find football shaped pretzels during football season. But you have different varieties.
Somebody figure that out by now. I'm so confused.
You have different varieties of the pretzel. You have the snacky type, which are typically rather crunchy. Rather salty. You have the larger, more fluffy, doughy type that people use or people get at like shops and kiosks in the mall.
Baseball games.
Yeah.
You got the mustard.
Who doesn't love one of those? And of course, you don't just, you got mustard.
The giant
you got
salt grains on
it. Yes, they're using the kosher salt on it. You can get them at some restaurants as an appetizer, pretzel sticks. And typically, if you get that, you can get that with some kind of cheese dip or something to dip them in. My personal favorite is actually a good honey mustard as opposed to just a standard mustard. I like a little bit of sweetness with it.
Yeah.
But you can also get like pizza pretzels.
Which is awesome. Just throw some pepperoni on top of it.
Well, no, like at some of the kiosk places, like again in malls or in stores,
you
can get the.
No, I know what you're talking about. I love those.
Jalapeno pretzels.
Yeah, State Fair. They've got some bitchin' pretzels at the State Fair.
Cinnamon sugar pretzels.
Oh, yeah.
These are all possibilities of stuff. And then, of course, my favorite pretzel application of all time.
Okay.
Pretzel bun for a hamburger.
Oh, yes.
A pretzel bun just totally changes a hamburger.
Yeah, absolutely.
From what I remember, it is part of
your default rules. You can change the bun
while
still making it a default hamburger. And
it's still
a
hamburger.
Yeah.
Still a hamburger. Changing of the bun is okay.
Yeah.
That's perfectly fine. In fact,
pretzel buns?
Either pretzel bun or brioche. Those are my two favorite. Anything else? If you're going to give me a non-pretzel or non-brioche, at least put some damn sesame seeds on the top of the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Please, 100%. People.
Yeah.
But... I digress.
But pretzels are not our subject matter.
Yes, they are. They are.
Pretzels are the key.
What the fuck is happening? Pop-Tarts have unveiled this year two pretzel-inspired Pop-Tarts.
What?
Oh, yes, sir. Pretzel Pop-Tarts.
This sounds like a mistake.
Oh, it is not a mistake. In fact... What is it called? Genius.
The first Pop-Tart one is
Pop-Tarts pretzel chocolate. Because don't we all love chocolate-covered pretzels? Would you like a chocolate-covered pretzel? Thank you, Kevin Smith.
Well done.
Pop-Tarts pretzel chocolate. It is a pretzel-style top layer of pastry. The bottom layer is a mixture of the pretzel style and the original pastry with a chocolate filling and a couple of chocolate lines of icing, frosting on the front of them, on the top of them. I'm showing Mike currently the real product.
My eyes are popping out of my head.
Yes, this is a real thing.
I feel like my finger has been far from the pulse.
Now, I can say I have not had these.
Okay.
Again, by the way, thank you, Kevin Smith.
Right.
You should write that down.
What? Thank you, Kevin Smith?
Well, just Kevin Smith. Write that down.
Okay.
Anyway.
I know. We keep name dropping him.
Maybe that'll make people watch us and listen to us. Maybe he will. That would be amazing.
That guy is so damned appreciative of like fanhood in general.
Especially because it's hopefully all references that'll make him smile.
I hope so too.
And then of course we're talking about masturbation. That should make him smile too. But then there's another flavor.
Yes.
Still the same kind of setup with the top completely pretzel, the bottom kind of a mixture of the pretzel and the dough.
Okay.
This one has white icing on the top, same kind of drizzles, but it's different flavor profile.
Yogurt?
No.
What?
Weird.
What do you mean weird?
You've
never had a yogurt? You haven't had a yogurt frosted pretzel? Those are dope as hell.
I have seen them. I have not. I'm very selective.
My Lord, you are missing out.
I'm very selective about my yogurt usage, sir.
No.
Yeah.
Bro.
Oh, it's a texture thing more than anything else. But anyway.
Okay.
Even with it being a coating on things, texture.
I have to introduce you
to a couple of fantastic ideas. We'll see, because I'm introducing you to Pop-Tarts, bro.
I am getting quite the around the world of Pop-Tarts right now. I am very impressed.
This is Pop-Tarts pretzel cinnamon sugar.
Shut up.
No, I can't. I'm talking. They can't see my gestures or anything,
so they
so I
did
have to talk.
Like,
they did the cinnamon sugar.
So they did the cinnamon sugar.
And the chocolate-covered pretzels.
Pretzel.
Yes. These I have had. Two boxes of these I have had so far since they come out.
Then they're obviously good. Otherwise, they're just a stickler for punishment.
I can say with certainty that when I pulled the first package out, opened it up, I will say this much. They're not flat like the normal ones are. They have actually a slight bend up to them because of the, I'm guessing because of the way the dough
the
is.
The consistency of the dough? Yeah.
It's got a slight bend up, and it was a little weird at
first. Kind of happy face a little bit?
By the way, I have also had them straight out the package, and I've had them toasted. Straight out the package is how I first had them. I ate one of the, because, you know, Pop-Tarts, the beauty of Pop-Tarts, the glory of them is they come in a package of two.
Okay.
Now, you can either be like me and a little bit on the piggy side and eat both of them and then grab another package. Or sometimes if you're feeling nice or if you're trying to impress your girlfriend in high school or whatever, you can share.
Yeah.
You know, one. Or trying to impress your boyfriend, whatever you need to do. You can share. Each one of you gets one. And it's, you know, look, I shared with you. Isn't that wonderful? Want to help me masturbate? Anyway. Bringing it back around.
That's good.
So...
All right, that's fine. It's are we going to put that in as a tag for this?
Maybe. So I opened up the first package. I
think we've mentioned masturbation like 15 times in 45 minutes.
Yeah, that sounds about like my teenage ratio. I'm going to say 16 years, 4 months. That sounds about right. Anyway, moving on. Of the first package, I tried one. My wife tried the other. Both of us with trepidation. Because we were interested in this. This is, you know, she's not a big chocolate person.
Right.
Thank God my wife is not a big chocolate person because, yeah, she has a few chocolate items she likes. But, like, when those holidays come, like Valentine's Day and, you know, even Halloween, where, like, there's chocolate everywhere and the chocolate women go nuts that love eating chocolate. I'm not talking about women with dark skin. I'm talking about women that actually love chocolate.
Oh, Lord, you didn't have to.
I'm going there. But anyway, my wife doesn't love to eat, like, mounds and mounds of chocolate. So I don't have to buy a whole lot of it, which is good because I like chocolate only a little bit.
We just cleaned up.
All the chocolate?
At Winco.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
The chocolate hearts the over at Winco stuff? Discount Valentine's half off. Let's go.
Yeah. I don't. If we're doing discount Valentine's.
And we hate Valentine's Day. That's the only time we'll go.
We hate it too. But like if we're buying discount Valentine's stuff, we're buying the hearts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Most all the variety. Hell yeah.
I'm waiting till after Easter because they do have Easter as one of the chocolate things that I do like, Cadbury eggs. And then they
Cadbury eggs are great.
And then they also have Peeps, which I'm one of those weird people that actually likes Peeps.
She loves Peeps.
I love them. They're so good.
I'm not like,
they're such a weird texture,
I'll
but I
have
love
them. Yeah. I'll have them. Like, I won't say no. If someone would be like, Peep, I'd be like, sure.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go out of my way to get Peeps. She loves Peeps. We bought a Fruit Loop skewer of Peeps.
Nice.
And I mean, like, shish kebab peeped.
Yeah.
She called it a Peep centipede because of the way that they were just shoved It was horrible.
All right. blending bad horror movies and Easter candy. I like it.
Yeah. Fruit Loop flavored Peeps.
Nice.
It was very strange.
I've had some weird ones. We'll have to go over that when it comes closer to Easter. We'll have to go over some of the weird Peep flavors. Because, like, actually, just the other day I had...
Dude, that's an episode.
Just the other day I had cotton candy Peeps. Shared some with my son. Cotton candy flavored Peeps.
All right.
That goes along with the fact that recently I had cotton candy flavored grapes. Grapes.
Naturally grown cotton candy flavored grapes.
I'm sure.
Or do they inject them with cotton candy flavoring?
You know what they do? They take a cotton candy machine, Mike. They take a cotton candy machine. They actually melt it down into a liquid, and they inject that into the root system of the grape vines. And that's how it happens.
You're okay.
Yes, my eyes are brown, and that is indicative of what I'm full of.
Yeah, absolutely, of course. But I don't even know where to go from there.
I don't know how they flavor them like cotton candy, but damn it, they taste like cotton candy. It is the freakiest damn thing in the world. It's like this shouldn't be this way,
right.
But it's beautiful and amazing, and all food should taste this way.
Yeah.
Everything should taste like cotton candy.
Yeah.
Eat a hamburger? No, not a hamburger. Eat a corn dog? It tastes like cotton candy. Can't fuck with the hamburger. I need the hamburger to taste like a damn hamburger. That's sacrilegious.
Yeah, because then you've got ground beef consistency and cotton candy flavor.
Well, no, it's just the hamburger tastes too good. You shouldn't mess with that flavor.
No.
Not at all. Okay, now, let's say this. If In-N-Out hamburgers tasted like cotton candy, I would eat it In-N-Out. There we go. Moving on.
What the hell?
At least they would taste good then. In-N-Out's garbage. Anyway, that's going to get me fined.
Fined?
Sued, whatever. Cinnamon sugar Pop-Tarts.
In-N-Out controls the government, James.
Maybe in California. It seems like it sometimes. I think they put things in the drinking water and send us subliminal messages so that everybody in California loves it.
Better watch those In-N-Out cultists.
It's like
I might be one of them.
excited for you.
Oh, there was a little fear in those eyes a minute ago. It was like, you had to process that for a second. It was a process, you don't know what I'll do.
It was a process of like, is he? Because do I got to take him out? And I was looking for weapons. You know I'm a big fan of Meatloaf, right? Yeah. The artist, not the food.
Oh.
The food as well.
I thought you were talking about cotton candy flavored Meatloaf for a second.
That would be good too.
Meatloaf flavored Pop-Tarts.
The food or the...
We were going back to the subject matter.
The food or the artist.
Oh,
anyway.
God.
No, I was just thinking...
Makes it way worse.
I was just thinking of the fact that if you were one of these In-N-Out cultists and were going to come after me or whatever, I had to think of a weapon, and the first thing that came into my mind was a kind of spoken word thing off of Meatloaf's Bad Out of Hell 2, Back into Hell, where he talks about... it's actually... I believe it's Jim Steinman actually doing the talking, but he talks about taking a guitar. Doesn't remember if it's a Telecaster or a Stratocaster, but he basically beats his parents to death with it because they don't understand his love of music. And so the first thought was, is he a cultist? And then I looked over to the guitars. Which one can I grab quick enough to hit him with? And look, a Telecaster and a Stratocaster.
I have variety.
Exactly. But anyway, back to the thing. The pretzel Pop-Tarts, the cinnamon sugar pretzel Pop-Tarts.
Yes.
I tried one.
Boy, we went way off on a tangent.
Uncooked, yes. Uncooked, untoasted, tried one. Not uncooked, but untoasted. Untoasted. Tried one.
Really? You don't want to try it toasted? So you kind of have to go through multiple stages.
Yeah, multiple stages.
If it fails the untoasted stage, you won't toast it?
No, if it fails the untoasted, here's the thing. If it fails the untoasted stage, I figure, okay, let's toast it up, see if it tastes any better toasted.
Yeah, totally.
Because I want to see if it can maintain a decent flavor just straight out the package.
Okay.
Because the cooking of it sometimes makes it taste better than it would normally taste. Well, so it's kind of a double gauge.
Isn't that their intention? Like you can eat them out of the package untoasted.
But I want to, and so what I'm saying, that's why I would still toast
it and
try it.
It's like you wouldn't have a raw piece of pizza.
Not raw, but some people eat a cold piece of pizza.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is completely cooked already. Some people like when there's
leftover. And these are pre-cooked. I guess you would adhere to the same rules. Okay,
and
that makes sense.
I mean, think about it. When you open the fridge the next morning after pizza and there's leftover pizza, do you eat it cold or do you heat it up?
Well, I really like heating my pizza up.
I always heat my pizza up. I don't like to eat it cold, but that's because of years and years of having tried to eat it cold and not liking it personally.
Okay, a good pizza can still be eaten cold. A good pizza, a well-made good pizza, you can have the box sitting on the coffee table and get up the next morning and just take a piece straight out and not even give a shit. You could have it. You could have it and skip. Seriously?
No.
No, dude. No. That's common knowledge. You didn't know that?
Never.
Really?
I would never do that.
Oh, man.
No.
You missed out.
No.
You kind of missed out on college, though, too.
I mean, I lived at home during college with my parents.
Okay, so you missed like that. Now, I didn't necessarily, but I mean, I did live in multiple bachelor pads.
No, I didn't. I never had the bachelor pads set up.
And that was like a regular, like I still got the college environment without actually going until I was like 29.
But you know, I think it's more of the fact that, I just moved out of my parents' house and became an adult. And didn't go through the giant kid phase.
That's okay. Dude, I'm still barely an adult. I mean, technically I'm an adult, but I'm like 38. I'm not an adult, really.
Yeah, and I've been an adult for like 20 years.
I eat pizza from the coffee table the next morning.
And I'm the guy that makes sure that literally 20 minutes after people have gotten their last piece of pizza, it gets portioned up into Ziploc bags and put in the refrigerator. Because
adulthood is very fluid. Like
I always have like four different sizes of Ziploc bags in a drawer at any given time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But anyway, the pretzel Pop-Tart.
Part of me doesn't have a problem with that environment either. Yeah. Like I'd be like, I get it.
Yeah. So the pretzel Pop-Tart on eating it untoasted, still amazing. The brown, the cinnamon sugar one, still amazing.
Wow.
Toasting it, even better.
Of
so it does come
that's the intention.
Better.
But yeah, I get it.
It's fantastic because you get a little bit of the saltiness of the pretzel. This does the whole sweet and salty thing to you. You get the saltiness of the pretzel. You get
that
cinnamon
would not
sugar.
Work cold.
No,
I'm quite surprised.
It does. It really, really does.
Okay,
and again, I agree with you, and I was worried about
it. Pretzel cold, not,
no, it's
so
not
great.
Soft.
No,
it's
thinking of the concept of pretzel. Giant soft pretzel cold, not so great. Giant soft pretzel hot,
yes.
Hell yes.
And that's
like,
why the thing
that
is not,
a, that's it's kind of a conditional
it's not
thing
quite
to me.
The it's not quite the soft pretzel, but it's also not quite the hard stick pretzel or
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah. Like those
supposed
I can have
to be
cold,
praying
like ones
hands
in like
pretzel.
Yeah, tiny ones in the bags.
Yeah.
Like, Those ones I can have cold, like,
but
all
that's,
day long.
It's somewhere in between those two.
Okay.
It's just, it's not, again, not as hard and crunchy as the normal ones, but also not this, not as soft and floofy as the regular giant pretzels.
Okay.
So it's somewhere in between, but it's definitely an amazing flavor. And the thing is, pretzels are pretzels, not Pop-Tarts. Pop-Tarts are marketed to kids.
By the way, we're talking about Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts are marketed to kids.
They are.
The colors are there. The placement on the shelves are there. Yeah. This is something that is a kid's product. But this is something that I firmly believe our generation has had stick with us
that,
into
that
adulthood.
Grew up with us. Yeah, for sure.
In a way that even the generation that it first came out with, that when it came out in the 1960s,
mm-hmm.
I have never seen anybody that we would have considered adults,
mm-hmm.
our parents or our parents' friends, I've never seen them eat Pop-Tarts. They grew out of eating Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, for sure.
But the people of our generation will still sit down and eat some Pop-Tarts.
Oh, hell
Heck,
yeah.
I remember when a friend of ours was overseas in the military, one of the things mm-hmm. that we were being gathered to send in a care package to him was
Pop-Tarts.
A bunch of different Pop-Tarts. In fact, the United States military has airdropped Pop-Tarts in Afghanistan before.
Wow.
In military locations to try to drop food in.
Wow.
And by the way, yes, like I said earlier, there actually was a gentleman who had his house catch on fire.
Yeah, we need to. Yeah, we've been making jokes about it, but this is an actual thing that happened.
In 1992, Thomas Nangle sued Kellogg for damages after his Pop-Tart got stuck and caught fire in his toaster.
Whoa.
The case gained even wider notoriety. By the way, I'm reading this from the Wikipedia page so that people know my source.
Legit, yeah.
The case gained wider notoriety when humor columnist Dave Barry wrote a column about starting a fire in his own toaster with Pop-Tarts. In 94, Texas A&M University Corpus Christi professor Patrick Michaud performed an experiment showing that when left in the toaster too long, strawberry Pop-Tarts could produce flames over a foot high. Now, I don't know about you, but my toaster, if it had a flame foot high coming out of it,
1 foot flame?
That would be burning the cabinets above it for sure.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
The discovery triggered.
How long do they have to be left in the toaster?
Well, that's not explained in here, but the discovery triggered a flurry of lawsuits. Since then, Pop-Tarts now on their box carry the following warning. Due to possible risk of fire, never leave your toasting appliance or microwave unattended.
Wow, I mean, yeah.
So it is a risk. So people, when you are making your Pop-Tarts in the toaster, do not walk away. Do not go into another room. Do not go and play video games and leave your Pop-Tarts unattended, people. Maybe I'm meaning this for a specific person. Watch the food you're cooking. It's not good to leave the food and not pay attention to it. I don't care how much work it takes. Watch your cooking food. Anyway.
Wow.
So that's kind of it's interesting that Pop-Tarts are still around now, that they were, I mean, I didn't know that until I started looking into this, how far back they reached. I remember my wife's grandmother at one point mentioning. My wife's grandmother had mentioned at one point that her kids, which would have been my wife's mom and aunts, mm-hmm. had actually eaten Pop-Tarts as kids. I'm like, no, they weren't around then. And then I did the research. I'm like, you know what? They probably did. She goes, yeah, I remember buying them. I said, I didn't believe that they were around back then, but in the mid to late 60s and 70s, which is when her parents would have been growing up, her mom would have been growing up, and her aunts, they had them, and they were apparently bought for them. But that it didn't. I don't think it stuck with that generation, like I say, in the same way that it sticks with our generation.
Yeah, they were the forced growing up that would happen with that previous generation.
Well, and Pop-Tarts is also one of those things that, like, you're right, the forced growing up is one thing. It's also one of those things that I think followed the rise in kind of geek and nerd culture. Because
mm-hmm.
to me, a 27-year-old who's eating Pop-Tarts is also probably eating Hot Pockets for dinner and is sitting in his mom's basement playing computer games. I mean, that's kind of the you know, one of those stereotypes of somebody that's an adult still eating Pop-Tarts. I think it's, you know, come with the culture, and it's something that's important. And the fact they're still pumping out flavors, gotta love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, that's all we have to say about Pop-Tarts. I hope you enjoyed.
Yeah.
Hope you got some tips. I hope you pay attention to yourself tonight, if you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, Mike, where can people listen to us?
Well, you can listen to us at thezennialchronicles.com or zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N.
That's our website.
That's our main podcast website. That is at. You also can check us out on TuneIn and Spotify and Google and Apple and all the places.
All the places the young people like to listen to podcasts. Interestingly, it is a very big phenomenon that young people listen to podcasts. When they're driving along in their cars, they don't listen to music as much as they listen to podcasts.
I did not know this.
Again, the school I'm going to, there's a lot of younger people there.
Yeah.
And I've had like five or six of them that I've mentioned the podcast. Like, oh, you do a podcast? I listen to podcasts all the time. I listen to them when I'm driving around, when I'm shopping in the store, when I'm doing this and that. I'm like, really?
Dude.
Check my podcast out.
Yeah.
Let me know what you think of it.
That'd be great.
If you don't mind listening to me talk and my buddy talk, it's basically the same type of stuff that I just talk about on a normal. So
yeah.
Go ahead. I've even had some ideas. Somebody wanted us to do a podcast about fast food milkshakes, mainly because they wanted to go get a milkshake at that moment in time. So they were wondering what fast food milkshakes would be good. So maybe a future podcast, which again, we always are accepting. But I think what Mike was leading into was that the main place that you can see our stuff is the YouTubes.
Yes, we do have a page on the YouTubes.
Yes,
search the YouTubes
damn it, he's making me say the YouTubes.
It was a mental thing. Search for the Zennial Chronicles on YouTube and go find our page. Subscribe. If you're listening to this on the YouTube page, please click the like button.
Yes.
Please click the like button. Also, subscribe to our page and you can comment. We do respond. And subscribe to our page and click the bell icon so that the next time we have another video and or podcast, because we do videos every once in a while.
Occasionally. There's some funny ones on there. Mike bumps the table. Mike pretends to be me and fails because he can't. Nobody can be me but me. It's kind of a good thing.
James has a fireside chat.
Yes, I do have a little bit of a fireside chat in my awesome dude loft.
Dude loft.
Yeah, my dude loft.
Dude loft. Very interesting.
I'm still going to get in trouble for that one. But anyway.
It's almost a man cave, but it's too high.
Yes. Man caves are underground. Dude loft is in the air. No.
All right. Anyways, guys, that's where you can catch us. Thanks for listening. You guys have a good one.
Yes. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.